Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. This is Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. Big Cass, my guy, some big things going on in the Woody Hayes right now. Spring ball is underway, basically. Quarterbacks, you know, they're throwing. Some people are impressing, others, I guess, maybe not impressing. We see Chip Kelly out there. He looks like he's living his best life. Caleb Downs is out there. Looking jacked.
Did you say big things going on in the Woody? Because
pretty big.
I mean, 6'3", 215, 18-year-old freshman phenom, Jeremiah Smith. I mean, that's a little bit big thing, right?
Oh my God, he's monster. I got to give us kudos for two things, because on our previous episodes, like probably in the past month, we guessed the numbers correctly and we guessed the NCAA football ratings that the players gave themselves correctly.
Yeah.
So we've been pretty spot on lately.
Except for the guy who gave himself a 40. I forget who that was. That was pretty funny.
Jaden Ballard was funny because he gave himself like in the 70s. I'm like, that's humble. That's humble. Like,
they're like, all humble. Like,
yeah,
I thought it was cool. But yeah, I mean, things are happening to Woody. It looks like even Ryan Day is having a good time. Chip Kelly's having a good time. Him and Tim Walton having a laugh about Caleb Downs. You know, that was probably because he's like, hey, man, let's get Caleb Downs on offense. But
yeah, I bet he did say something like that.
But, like, you could just tell just the first 2 days of practice. And, you know, these 2 days are lightweight because – and then they got Saturday practice. And then they're off for a week because of spring break. And that's when I think it really starts to gear up, is when they come back from spring break. But you could tell, like, they're just – like, the highlights you see – the media has a little bit more coverage. People are overreacting about how Devin Brown has looked so good, which he has. He looks pretty darn good. But, man, seeing that picture of Jeremiah Smith gave me – and I know I was a little kid when this guy came through, but gave me 1996 David Boston vibes. Like, it really did. And that begs my question.
He gave me the bench warmers I am 12 vibe. Like, that's what I got when I saw him. He's a monster, bro.
But this begs my question. Is he the best physical specimen 18-year-old freshman we've had in the last 25 years? Or does it go to Orlando Pace and David Boston?
I feel like Chase Young, I don't think as a freshman was as big, but Chase Young's got to be up there too. I'd probably say, just from my experience, Chase Young. Because I was so young, I don't remember Orlando Pace, bro. You can enlighten us on that.
Yeah, dudes. I mean, I was a little kid. I mean, I was 8 years old, but like, knowing the two freshman phenom. Well, actually, no, I was seven, because he played in 95. But like, this would be a good question for like our boy Jamie Sumner. Of course he's going to roll with his boy Orlando Pace, but I would say he is probably the next freak since Chase. He's been obviously in the last 10 years, yes. Between him and Chase Young, the biggest physical specimens.
I mean, I feel like he's definitely bigger than like Marv was.
Oh yeah, and I think he's gonna play more. He's gonna. I think honestly, between him, Ballard, and Ennis, we talk about the quarterbacks. We talk about other position battles. How about wide receiver three?
It looks like he's going to return punts, but like, cause he was practicing punt returns today in practice,
was it Lorenzo Styles, Jeremiah Smith, and
Jermaine Matthews, which Jermaine I'm Matthews. Surprised no downs, but that might change. I think that's going to change once like in training camp, but
yeah,
I don't hate having Jeremiah Smith out there returning kicks. I think that's honestly a great way to kind of get him acclimated and get him going, and get him involved, because you know he might not be polished right away as a receiver, but you know, get someone back there who's not afraid to take it out of the end zone and like house one. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Josh Fryer starting right tackle so far. Luke Montgomery starting right guard. That's a little bit surprising to me.
It is, but it kind of makes sense. I can see it. And I guess the logic behind this would be Fryer's experienced at tackle. He wasn't phenomenal, but like he's experienced. He's another year older. And then I think Montgomery playing at guard is a better fit for him almost.
Yeah.
Because like he would be an upgrade over Fryer at tackle, but like he could definitely be like an NFL guard, I think.
Yeah, and interesting too is they have Carson Hinton's been taking first team reps at center, but they say McLaughlin looks so much better than him. And I think that's just happened. Okay, he's back. It's the first 2 days of practice. I mean, it's going to be left side of the line. We already know Donovan Jackson, Josh Simmons. That's just hands down. But it's going to be interesting. It's only two practices. It's like I could tell people are on the hype train. Devin Brown, yes, he has looked good. Julian Sayans looked pretty good, even though he's a little undersized. And Will Howard, not so much.
Sayan has the best zip, because everyone was analyzing that one video. Sayan has the best zip. Aaron Nolan was throwing some dimes too. Devin Brown looks the most comfortable, I would say, but it's gonna be a long competition.
I think ultimately it's still going to be the Will Howard, but I don't think it's going to last as long as Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. I really don't.
I also, like, watching the quarterbacks, I've noticed a bigger emphasis on, like, you know, the almost like the play fakes. Kelly. Like a lot of almost like faking the handoff and then getting into yours. But it's not a traditional fake. It's like an awkward kind of like option.
Yeah.
And then they're throwing and everything. I feel like, you know, and then you see the video with Will Howard doing the tush push. You can definitely tell that running the football is going to be a major emphasis for this offense. Like major, major emphasis. And I'm really excited too, because you saw there's one clip of the running backs taking handoffs, and Trey looked so fast. He looked, you know, like he healthy, fresh legs, super fast. But what really got me excited was just how hard Judkins hits the hole. Trey's fast, but Judkins, his movements are so crisp and so direct. Trey's a burner, so like he can kind of get away with not being like, you know, not having the perfect cuts, but like Judkins, the way he cuts and runs, it's straight downhill, like one cut, and it's efficient.
I can't wait. I've already broke down Chip Kelly's offense. We're just waiting for that right episode. And I've got some things to say. You're going to see both of them in the backfield at the same time. There's no doubt in my mind with Chip Kelly's offense. Defensively, obviously no shock. Sonny Styles, linebacker, obviously not taking the first team reps with at will, but I guarantee it by the end of spring, by camp, he's going to be the starting will linebacker at Ohio State.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I've been hearing a lot of rumblings on certain passing situations, 3-3-5 defense with Simon. They're talking like short third and five passing situations. And you can do this with Tyleek, Jack Sawyer, JTT, Sonny, CJ, Cody Simon, and your five DBs. I can see it. I can see Jim Knowles doing that for a few.
Yeah. No, you would have to play Hicks for sure. I'm trying to think about how that would work. It would honestly be more of a, I think it would be Hicks and kind of Cody kind of in the middle of the field. Sonny would kind of bump out, I feel like, into probably the strong side.
And then you'd have to bring in Mitchell Milton, or you could almost actually no, it's yeah, 3-3-5, yeah, 3-3-5, yeah.
I think
Hancock,
Hancock would be
the
a
nickel,
safety. Ransom would be a
Downs,
safety.
Ransom.
Oh no, Dad! I forgot about Dad. Oh my God, we're so small. No, it would be. God, hold on.
Isn't this crazy? Like last
No,
year,
Hancock would be inside.
inside.
They would move him inside for sure. Ransom would be the other safety with Downs. It'd be Downs, Ransom, Hancock,
Iggy
Sonny,
and
kind of.
Burke on the outside.
Isn't that defense? Sonny's basically a DB. Like it's a five, it's a 3-3-5, but we're really playing two backers and six
Yeah.
DBs. Like the way that really happens, I think.
The insanity that we have to sit down and deep think of who's going to play where. We didn't have that last year. That's what's crazy about this roster. And it's only springtime. Two practices in. I'm so hyped to see what this continues to be on.
The secondary is so deep, like, and I hate to say it, the one thing like with the secondary can afford is like an injury. It
And
like
right now, Calvin Simpson-Hunt nursing a shoulder injury.
not even him. Like if like let's say something happened to Igbinosin or Burke, like we like Jermaine Matthews in that in that defense isn't even sniffing the field. So like, which is crazy to me. Because like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
It's rotating. It's going to be a lot of rotating parts.
yeah. No, I mean, it's a luxury. They can play the matchups for sure. It's.
For sure. All right, let's switch gears to the hardwood. Should we do women's or men's first?
But start on a happy note, because the men's got it done. They got it done against that team up north. Jake Diebler, 1-0, has never lost to those losers as a head coach. And I went to the game. I decided I wanted to beat Michigan. Woke up, got some tickets. Me and my wife, we went. It was nice, obviously. Won a lot. Last probably sport event we're going to before the baby comes. So it was just a nice little date Sunday. But honestly, Cass, great game. Like it hit everything on like. One of the best games I've seen them play in person in a while. I think since 2019 when they put 100 on Penn State, obviously scoring, in the high 80s against your arch rival and beating them by over 20 points is great. Zed Key set the tone early with a massive dunk. And it honestly, this game was so much fun because there were so many good dunks. Like Bruce Thornton had a crazy dunk. Michigan. One of their guys absolutely threw down too. It was a really good game to attend. Like the dunks were awesome. I loved that Jake Diebler started. What's his name? Number 44.
Oh,
What's his
this,
name? Oh,
I
and
love what.
honestly, he didn't put had it have any points. He had three fouls. His three fouls were all great fouls, though. Like, they weren't ticky-tack fouls. They were like, this guy was going up for a layup, and he was bodying them. And then it kind of worked out because, like, we swapped in Okpara after a couple minutes. And, like, instead of Okpara getting those and having to take him out, we just had Owen Spencer rough up their guy, their big man. And their big man only had 4 points. So, I'm just saying, I'm not opposed to them throwing Owen Spencer out there in the beginning now and just having him get some hard fouls. Overall, I was just really happy. My biggest gripe on the day was just the Schottenstein Center does not have like if they hit 80 points now, they don't have the Big Mac. They need to have like 15 assists to get something from Chick-fil-A, and they didn't have that, which kind of irritated me because I'm like, they played such a great game and we couldn't even get it. So I'm like, when are we ever gonna get this?
I blame the Aaron Kraft era because too many Big Macs got given away. The Aaron Kraft era. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, they got one more this regular season against Rutgers, who just lost to Wisconsin.
Rutgers is bad.
But they play really well at the Rack, if it's still called the Rack or the Jersey Mike Center, whatever it's called now. So, like, Ohio State has a legit shot to make the tournament. However,
they perfect. They literally, like, this, they're in the tournament, right? Like, every game is a tournament game from now on.
However, people are saying they'd have to win one or two games in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament, to make the NCAA tournament. As it stands right now, if they win Sunday, let me look, double check before I say something stupid. And as it stands right now, the Big Ten tournament, the Ohio State Buckeyes would have the second, would play on the second day, which means most likely if they win, their first game would be against Purdue, their next game, like their second game. So if they win right now, it would be Michigan versus Penn State, Maryland versus Rutgers. Ohio State would play, looks like a rematch. Might be a rematch against, would they play Iowa? I'd have to look at the standings, but
Ohio State beats Purdue again, they're absolutely in. They're absolutely in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I just, when I look at their, when I look at the body of work they've done, how is Villanova on the bubble? Like higher, like they're higher on the bubble, and Villanova has been terrible. They're not good. They're like, their record is worse than Ohio State's. It's, they're, you know, 17-13. They're not exciting. Like their biggest win is just they beat North Carolina, but like the Purdue win is a better win in my opinion than a North, like North Carolina. I know it's a name brand, but like Purdue is going to be a one seed. North Carolina is probably going to be a two or three seed. Not saying that they can't be, they're not a good team. I'm just saying, you know, Ohio State does have the better, like they've also beaten Bama, who's going to be a two or three seed. They've beaten Michigan State. They've beaten Nebraska. They've beaten UCLA. Like, I still give them credit for the UCLA win. I think, honestly, compared to most years, this is like exactly how Ohio State usually is. But like, for some reason this year, they're not getting the respect. And I hope they just take into account like how well we've played after Holtman's been fired.
Right now, they are the 10 seed. And they would play. Right now, they are the 10 seed. And they would play the 7 seed, which is Michigan State, the first game. And then they would play the 2 seed, would be Illinois, if they beat Michigan State.
I mean, both of those are winnable for them. It would be tough, but I will say too, there, those are two quality wins that if they got and they added, and let's say they got to 21 wins with another win against Michigan State and another win against a good Illinois team, they're 100% in.
I would rather see them become the 8-9. We get the 8-9 seed, like somehow get the 8-9 seed, play Minnesota, and then go on and play Purdue, because I think honestly, the way they beat Purdue, I think even on a neutral site court, outside of Edie, they match up really well against Purdue on the perimeter.
No, dude, Purdue's not good. Like, my buddy Trent, like, he has a huge future on them to win the championship, and I keep telling him, I'm like, they're not good. They are literally just so reliant on just Zach Edie being 7-4 and just bigger than everyone, and like the refs don't know how to officiate it because the Big Ten refs are stupid. If you get into a tournament game like an NCAA tournament where these refs are from who knows where, they're not going to put up with this Zach Edey nonsense. They're going to call fouls on him, and if he gets in foul trouble, their perimeter guys are not scary. Like, they're not that good in my opinion.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'd like to see what they can do. Realistically, you know, even if they lost, they would drop. If even if they lost, they would, you know, be 8-12. Penn State would have to win this weekend. Penn State has Maryland. So, wow, Penn State will have to play Maryland back to back.
So what if Ohio State loses against Rutgers? They're 18-12. What seed are they?
They would be 18-13. They would be, depending if Penn State, depending if Penn State wins or loses, because they have the tiebreaker over Maryland. Ohio State does.
What's the lowest seed we can get? Like the hot. I get not. I. What's the worst seed we can get? Not the lowest.
Well, if Penn State wins, Ohio State loses, we would get the 11 seed.
And then who will we play?
Maryland.
And then who will we play after that?
We would play the 6 seed, which would be Iowa.
And then who would be after Iowa? Like, who are the options after Iowa? Because I kind of like this path a little better. I'm not going to lie.
The 3 seed.
Nebraska?
Yes.
Interesting, because I really want to be in this seed, because this is like, I'm not saying we couldn't beat Michigan State and Illinois, but we could absolutely beat Maryland, Iowa, Nebraska.
And then have to play Purdue for the semis.
Or whoever, or maybe someone knocked off Purdue, like, by
the, yeah.
And then, right? Because then it could be Illinois, I think, right? Instead, if Illinois plays Purdue.
No, it would be the winner, whoever played Purdue, the 4 seed. Let's say the 4 seed would be Northwestern.
Oh, Northwestern could totally be
or Purdue. Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's the 5 seed.
Yeah, well, no, and Northwestern has beaten Purdue, and they play like that. That's
what if it's the 8? What if it's the 8 seed, Minnesota, or the 9 seed, or Michigan State? You never know.
Yeah, I mean, look. I'm just trying to think of, like, what scenario would I would prefer, but I just want them to keep winning. I mean, that's the biggest thing right now.
That's all. Just keep winning and getting in the tournament.
Uh-oh.
So that's all I ask for. If they make the tournament, I don't even care if they're one and done.
No, I don't. If they make the tournament this year after all this, I just want them to make sure they hire Diebler full time. That's all.
It'd be interesting to see what they do.
I mean, there's that rumor that, like, LeBron wants Dusty May and stuff. But, all right, like, the world cannot cater to LeBron. I'm sorry. Like, I need something in writing and a donation, LeBron, like, that your son is absolutely coming to Ohio State if we do this. Because, like, I don't need the shadow dad, like
pulling. What, and why would the thing is why would Ohio State hire somebody just to get LeBron's son for 1 year?
Yeah, no, you're gonna come, Bryce, you're gonna come play for Jake Diebler, and you're gonna love every damn second.
Exactly.
We tell you where to play, son.
Oh, all right. The women's lost to Iowa, but play Maryland tomorrow.
So this is gonna fire me up. This ticked me off, man. This we all knew what was gonna happen that day when they went to Iowa. Yeah. We all saw it coming. That game meant absolutely diddly squat, except for Caitlin Clark. That was literally just the
on a bogus technical foul.
Yeah. Terrible technical fouls. The refs blew a couple calls that they called blocking.
My thing is, the one on J.C. Sheldon, they didn't call a foul on J.C. Sheldon, but the one where they both dove after a ball, got up, J.C. Sheldon shoved, Caitlin Clark shoved J.C. Sheldon, and they reviewed it, and they said there was nothing warranted for them to call a foul. She literally shoved J.C. Sheldon, and Cody McMahon got ran into, and they called a technical foul. Iowa fans are so oblivious because they love their almighty Caitlin Clark. Okay, Caitlin Clark, great player. I have a hard time liking Caitlin Clark.
No.
I really do.
I liked her last year when, like, you know, she wasn't really an enemy of OSU, but now, like, she's officially on the list. She's like on the list with like JJ McCarthy and like Connor Stallions, like
Jim Harbaugh.
Who else, like, is on the list?
Like, I was telling a good friend of mine who's the head coach at Lancaster girls, I was like, I want to like her because she's such a great player. She really is. But the antics and the – it's so ridiculous. Like,
also, I just don't think
– and them jumping us in the pools was ridiculous.
No, that's what made me the most frustrated, because the game did not mean anything. Like, this was not a life or death game for Ohio State at all.
No, it was not.
Like that you can't base this. Like, what incentive did Ohio State have to do, like, to win there? They had no incentive. The Big Ten championship was like, it was secure. It's they weren't going to move off the number one seed line with a loss to Iowa, because we already beat them. It's just the fact that they jumped us when we have the Big Ten regular season title and they don't, and we've beaten them already, and this was the point of the game that was rigged, and like all that they cared about was just if Caitlin Clark was going to break this record. They kept, like, I've never seen it before where like they just show players points the entire time. I've never seen that before, and I get it. She's the GOAT, but like, enough. Like, put some respect on the ladies, like our ladies, because like they've earned it. And it frustrates me because it's like our ladies are like a great team, but they get no recognition because it's just all Caitlin Clark.
And that's where, like, I have a hard time. And Ohio State did it to themselves. They didn't defend very well. They did in Columbus. It's just, I hope we get a rematch in the Big Ten tournament and we beat them. That's all that matters.
No, I think we will. I really think we will. I think we figured out to kind of how to play them for the most part, because that game was closer than like the final score.
The girls did.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it was not a do or die game. So it didn't mean as much. I know that for a fact, a couple days before when they played Michigan, that they were a tough team. They were throwing the Michigan players around. They were diving for balls, out hustling. Like, when they want to come play, they will come play. This was meaningless, and like, yeah. I just feel like they got disrespected.
They definitely did get disrespected, but they're going to beat Iowa tomorrow at 12:30 on Big Ten Network or Peacock, whatever it's on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big Ten tournament this weekend for the women's. The men's play Rutgers on Sunday, and
that's the big one. I'm nervous about this one because it's like we beat Rutgers early on in December, but I feel like Rutgers always somehow like beats us randomly when we go to the rack. So it's gonna be a close one, dude. I mean, I think this is gonna be a dogfight for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be a dogfight. It's a tough place to play, and it's gonna be fun to see what the Buckeyes could do. And get ready for, and then spring ball continues practice Saturday before they go to spring break. A lot of going. Can't wait for April 13th, spring game. Baby Smith's coming soon.
I know. It's soon, real soon.
Baby Smith's coming soon. And then I'm going to have to hold the fort down for a little while and maybe have some either reoccurring guests, bring on somebody else, and maybe bring back a couple guys that we've had beat in the past and see how we go.
I want Tennessee Jeff back while I'm gone.
I don't know how good that would be right now.
Oh,
he's right down there in South Carolina doing smash burgers or something.
He has a beautiful dog. I love his pup he got.
Yeah.
Tennessee Jasmine. Beautiful pup. Like, give that girl some treats. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, that's really all I got. Chip Kelly offense coming soon. It's our breaking. This is going to be our, we joke about this, like it's going to be our break in case of emergency episode. That and the scandals episode we've been holding on to, which I'm kind of glad, dude. I'm so glad we left like the scandals episode, because now I could just dedicate that to like the Michigan cheating scandal.
Connor Stallions. This episode is brought to you by Connor Stallion. So that's all I got, man.
That's all I got.
See you Saturday. Yes, see you, sir. Saturday at noon.
Yes, sir. Big day Saturday. It's gonna be a blast. But that's all I got. So thank you so much for everyone to listen to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Also, daylight savings this weekend, so you lose an hour. But you know, make sure you set your alarms or whatever. But go Bucks.
Go Bucks.